to the Gospel of John, please. Gospel of John, chapter 4. So far during our morning services for the last couple of weeks, we've been stressing some key elements in being an effective witness for Christ. We've stressed the fact that we need to speak up. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to share the gospel. We need to share the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. He is given to us to empower us. Then last week we stressed the importance of prayer, that we need to be in prayer. We need to pray much, that God would open up those opportunities and enable us to maximize those opportunities. We need to pray much. Well, this morning I'd like to answer the question, how much do I need to know in order to turn many to righteousness? How much do I need to know? Do you need to know in order to turn many to righteousness? Note there in John chapter 4, verse number 25 and 26, it reads, Gospel of John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee am he. This portion of scripture is part of our Lord's conversation with a woman from Samaria. And here in verse number 26, where the Lord Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he, is our Lord's seventh main statement to this woman. In verse 7, the Lord Jesus said to her, give me to drink. In verse 10, he said, if thou knewest. In verse 14, he said, I shall give thee. In verse 16, he said, go call thy husband. In verse 17, he said, well said. Verse 21, believe me. Verse 26, I am he. And this is a critical moment that ignited a critical response. As a result of her response to this statement that the Lord Jesus made to this woman of Samaria, I that speak unto thee am he, the Bible teaches us that many other Samaritans were converted to Jesus Christ. Note then verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. What did this woman do that led to many others turning to righteousness? The Bible teaches us in verse 39 that she testified of what God had done for her. How much do I need to know in order to turn many to righteousness? My friend, this morning I'd like to stress to you that God can use a personal testimony in the hearts of others. This woman just simply shared what she knew. And it had a powerful effect. The Bible teaches us that many from that city, in verse 39, believed. But also note then verse 41, please. And many more believed because of his own word. A salvation testimony is a powerful tool in leading others to Christ. Because it is personal, there is that personal element. And also it's powerful because a personal salvation testimony is illustrative, it's practical. It's sharing with another what God has done for you and I. And that's a powerful tool. The Apostle Paul time and time again shared his salvation testimony. A good example of that is found in Acts chapter 26, how he shared life before he was converted to Christ. And then he shared from verses 12 to 18 of Acts 26, how he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, his Messiah. And then he went on to describe his life since becoming a Bible Christian. So I'd like to encourage you this morning, don't underestimate the power of your personal salvation testimony. Use it for God's glory. It is powerful because it's personal. It is powerful because it is illustrative. People can relate to personal experience. People are craving personal experience. That's why these reality TV shows are so popular. You ever wonder why they're so popular? People are enamored in watching a person make a casserole or bake a chook. Because people are wanting reality. People don't cook like they used to cook. So therefore they love watching somebody bake a chook. Wow, that's how you do it. That's how you make a casserole. This is how you survive on an island if you're stranded. All this reality TV shows, people just love it. You know why? Because people have no reality. People are living in a virtual world. And salvation is real. And if you are saved, it's real in your life. And these people are giving evidence that they want reality. And if you will share your salvation testimony, that's reality. That's the real reality. This woman just shared what she knew. Let's note some principles from the life of this woman that should encourage us in sharing our salvation testimony. Well, how much do you need to know, Pastor, in order to lead many to Christ? Not much. You just need to know that you're saved first and foremost. Note the response there. In verse 26, Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." Note her response in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" May I submit to you, if you and I are to effectively witness for Christ by using our salvation testimony, we need to make sure, first and foremost, that we've been converted. This woman had a genuine conversion. She left her water pot. She gave evidence of that fact. The things of this world will not bring lasting satisfaction. This woman left her old life, so to speak, in seeking satisfaction from this world and was introduced to that well of water from which if one drinks, they shall never thirst again. As one man said, she left her water pot and took the well home instead. She left her water pot and took the well, everlasting water, back into her city. A changed life is a powerful means of winning many to righteousness. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And may I submit to you that in an illustrative way, that woman leaving her water pot behind illustrates for us that this woman is a changed woman. She came to the well in order to draw water with that water pot. She left that water pot and she went back into town with a well, a lot more than what she went to the well with. A changed life. She had a genuine change of heart. And that's why she testified and she said, "Is not this the Christ?" Let me ask you this morning, have you been converted? Do you know what it means to be born again? There'll be many that will stand before God and say, "God, we've done this and we've done this and we've done this in your name." And Jesus Christ will say, "I never knew you, workers of iniquity, depart from me." Oh, how sad that would be. Have you been genuinely converted? My Bible teaches me, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. If any man be in Christ is a new creature, this woman gave evidence of new life because she left her water pot behind. Good old C.H. Spurgeon that said in evidence for in the context of giving evidence of salvation, he said, "Just a sneeze will do. Just a sneeze will do." In other words, something. Even just a holy sneeze. Something for salvation. And if you and I are to use our testimony to turn many to righteousness, we need to make sure first and foremost that we have been soundly converted. This woman gave evidence of that because she left her water pot. And secondly, I'd like for us to note in verse number 29 that she did not keep her newfound faith to herself. Number one, she had a genuine change of heart. She left her water pot and took the well home instead. And number two, she did not keep her newfound faith to herself. She determined from the start of her new spiritual life that she was not going to keep it to herself. She determined to tell others. And she went back into town and she said, come and see a man that told me everything about me. Is not this the Christ? There was no doubt in her mind that it was the Christ for her, but she was challenging the Samaritans and saying, "Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ that we've been waiting for?" Because the Samaritans, like the Jews, were looking forward to the coming Messiah. My friend, this woman did not keep her newfound faith to herself. She determined from the start that I'm going to share my faith with others. Salvation is for all, my friend. And this woman did not keep it to herself. She had the cure. She experienced the cure. And she said, well, I'm going to tell others about the cure. I'm one beggar that's found bread, and I'm going to tell others where they can find bread as well. Oh, beloved, don't be like Nicodemus of old, which we would assume he was born again. We read of him again later on in the life of our Lord, a secret disciple. And in many ways, Joseph of Arimathea was also a secret disciple. But not the woman of Samaria. She understood her responsibility to her people. She loved her people. She left her water pot, and out of excitement, she went back and she said, come and see a man that told me everything about me. Is not this the Christ? Come and see for yourself. For she knew they were looking for a Messiah. My friend, people are craving peace today. Joy, deliverance from guilt. People are living in hopelessness, just spinning their wheels. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And you have the answer. The problem is sin. Sin needs to be addressed. This woman's sin was addressed. And she humbly admitted that. And she said, this man told me everything about me. This is the Messiah. Come and see. Is not this the Savior? She didn't keep her newfound faith to herself. Principle number three, this is getting to the punchline here of this whole sermon, is that she shared what she knew. How much do we need to know in order to turn many to righteousness? Well, this woman just shared what she knew. Was this woman of Samaria a Bible college graduate? Yes or no? She's only been a Christian for moments. She shared with others what she knew. She went back to her own people, the Samaritans, a people that were looking for a Messiah. Note in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh when, which is called Christ, when He is come, He will tell us, my people, the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-caste Jews. The Samaritans considered themselves as the true Israel of God. So the Messiah, they believed, would appear to them because they were the true Israel. So when this woman said, come and see, is that not the Christ? Bing! All their antennas went up. Because if Messiah is going to come, He will appear to His people. The Samaritan said, we are the genuine Israel. Come and see. Is not this the Christ? The Samaritans considered the Israelites of Judea and Jerusalem as wicked impostors. No, said the Samaritan, we're the real Israel. The Messiah will appear to us. So they're waiting for an announcement for the Messiah to appear to them. So when this woman said very tactfully, is not this the Christ? No wonder they rushed out of town and made their way towards the well. By the way, the true Israels of God those in Judea and Samaria thought the Samaritans were imposters, wicked imposters. And it's no surprise that the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah, not only to the Jew, but also to the Samaritan as well. This woman of Samaria had no credibility. She was a wicked woman, was she not? Talk to me. She was an immoral woman. She's had five husbands and she's living with a man. She had no credibility with the people, yet they listened to her with intensity and responded accordingly. Why? Because she hit the right buttons. Is not this the Christ? The very day she was converted, she began to witness to others of what she knew. Her account in meeting the Messiah was so plain, so honest, so powerful. It hit a chord of need in the hearts of others. My friend, this morning you don't need a theological degree in order to share your faith with others. You might say, oh, Pastor, I haven't been saved for that long, but are you saved? If you're saved, you have a testimony. You're ready. Go for it. Look at what this woman did. She shared with others what she knew. Oh, but Pastor, I haven't completed my discipleship. Well and good, but you can still be a witness for Christ. Share what you know. And if you are saved, you've got something to share. This woman just shared what she knew. This bloke told me everything about me. Is not this the Christ? If we had time, we would turn to John chapter 9, verse 25, where the young man that was blind from birth said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The Jewish critics asked this man's parents, now, what's up? Who did this? Who is he? What's gone on? And the parents said, well, we're not quite sure. You ask him. Let him speak for himself. Yes, this is our blind son that now sees. So the critics challenged the man that could now see and said, well, what's up? What's happened? Tell us the real story. And he said, look, I don't really understand what's happened, but I can tell you for a fact that once I was blind, but now I see. You work that out. Share what you know, beloved. Don't be intimidated. Share what you know. And this leads us to my fourth point, and that is she wasn't intimidated by her shortcomings and by what she didn't know. Verse 29, is not this the Christ? And note then verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. She wasn't intimidated by her shortcomings and by what she didn't know. Oh, you might say, well, Pastor, look, I wish I knew as much as you know. Oh, beloved, no, wrong attitude. You don't want to know all that I know. It'll send you grey. It equates to sleepless nights. You don't want to know everything I know. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, you know enough to be a witness for Christ. And even though this is a wicked woman, everybody knew everything about her. She wasn't intimidated because she had a newfound faith. And she said, is not this the Christ? You make up your mind. You go and see the man. You work it out. She had no credibility, but the one that she pointed to had all the credibility. She wasn't intimidated. And some of you are not witnessing because you are allowing the devil to intimidate you. You're saying to it, you don't know enough. You know you're saved, you know enough. None of us are perfect. Nor are we ever going to be fully qualified. I'm still learning. That's why I'm thankful that we're going through principles of soul winning once again. Oh, Pastor, we're doing it again? Yes, because we need to win people to Christ. Amen. Most of you have never won a soul to Christ. Pastor, are you trying to make me feel bad? Yes. Yes. You know why? Because people are going to hell. And they'll burn forever and 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 forever in torment and pain and agony forever. What are we doing about it? This woman wasn't intimidated by her shortcomings. She wasn't intimidated by what she didn't know. You know, the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, Acts chapter 9, just after he received sight, and he had a good meal, he started preaching Christ. How much did he know at that point? He knew that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Bing! So off he went. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Oh, beloved, don't be intimidated by what you don't know. Share what you know. And look at verses 34 and 35. So as a result of this woman's testimony, the Bible teaches us in verse 30, they went out of the city and came unto him. So if you could just imagine a flock of Samaritans coming out of the city, making their way towards the well, to meet this man that could be the Christ. There's a host of them. Now look at verse 34 and 35 in that context. The disciples had just returned back with some food. And said to the Lord Jesus, go ahead and eat. They were concerned about their bellies. Note verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white already to harvest. Our Lord Jesus had to remind his own disciples why he had come. My friend, we need to be reminded constantly concerning our mission. But also, the Lord Jesus in verse 35, he reminded them of the great opportunity before them, as a host of Samaritans dressed in white made their way to him. And he used the analogy of the possibility of missing the harvest time. If we don't harvest a crop on time, it can go off, it can be damaged, it can be stolen. Samaritan males wore long, flowing white garments. And Jesus Christ said, don't say there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes and look. Here's all these white garments coming towards you. It's harvest time. And I can imagine the Lord Jesus pointing and saying, look, the fields are white under harvest as a multitude of Samaritans dressed in white flowing garments are coming out to see if this is the Christ. What a sight it must have been as they made their way down to our Lord Jesus, hoping this might be the Christ. See, this woman didn't know everything. She had no credibility, but she shared what she knew. And she wisely said, come and see. See for yourself. Because she had no personal credibility because of her past lifestyle, she wisely said, look, he's down at the well. She wisely pointed the Lord Jesus. She wisely pointed the Samaritans to the Lord Jesus. She pointed people to where Jesus Christ could be found. This woman did not personally lead anybody to the Savior, but she had the wisdom to point people to where he could be found. And beloved, let me encourage you to do likewise. Point people to where Jesus Christ can be found. For example, take them to a friend or leader that can confidently share the gospel. So I was converted at the age of 14 simply because my mates invited me over. They weren't confident leading me to Christ, but they led me to where Christ could be found. And there at my mate's house was the youth pastor. He opened up the Bible and shared Christ with me. This woman had no credibility. She knew that. But she said, if you go down to the well at Sychar, you'll find the Messiah there. Amen. So really, if you are not confident in leading someone to Christ, take somebody with you. Or take them to somebody. Or, another suggestion, bring them to church. I like to think that you believe that Christ can be found here. Invite them to church. This woman pointed people to where Christ could be found. And as a result, the Bible teaches us, look at verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Wow, many of the Samaritans were converted to Christ. And this woman just simply said, look, he's there by a well. Is not this the Christ? She shared what she knew. Friend, listen to me. You can witness for Christ. You can witness effectively for Christ if you are genuinely converted. Share what you know. How much do you need to know in order to turn many to righteousness? You just need to know that you're saved. And point people to Jesus Christ. Amen. A The Bible says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed because of her testimony. Verse 39, she testified. But look, it doesn't stop there. The Lord Jesus spent 2 days with the Samaritans. And look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Wow! Many believed. Many more believed. And simply because of what? One woman that went back into town and said, look, I think I've found the Christ. She shared what she knew. Personal testimony. Now, the Lord Jesus copped a lot of flack for winning Samaritans to himself. In fact, in John chapter 8, I think it's about verse 48, the Jews actually called the Lord Jesus a Samaritan. And he said, he's got devils. He's a Samaritan. He's got devils. So our Lord was criticized. But beloved, for God so loved the world. Do you love the world? Do you love your world? People around you? How much do we need to know in order to win many to Christ? Well, you just need to know that you're saved. That's the basis. And you need to determine, I'm not going to keep my faith to myself. I'm going to share it with others. And you just need to just share what you know. Don't be intimidated by your shortcomings. Don't be intimidated by what you don't know. Just simply point people to Jesus Christ. And say to people, this is where you'll find Christ. Introduce them to a friend. Bring them to church. Give them a gospel tract. This is where you'll find Christ. You can be a witness for Christ. So how much do you need to know? You need to know that you're saved. And you need to be prepared to share your salvation testimony with others. Don't underestimate the power of a personal testimony. I was baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church, St. Michael's, here in Lane Cove. Apparently I screamed all the way through the baptism. Yeah, glory to God. One of my aunts reminds me time and time again that I was the only one that can console you. As that priest tried to put that water on your forehead, tried to baptize you, you just screamed, and I was the only one that could calm you down. And I love going into this community, and when people say, well, I go to St. Michael's, I love it, love it, love it, love it. Responding, I say, well, I used to go to St. Michael's. I was baptized at St. Michael's. I had my Holy Communion at St. Michael's. But I was born again at the age of 14. And this is how I was born again. See, your salvation testimony is unique for you. Don't underestimate the power of your testimony. Oh, Pastor, nobody will be interested. Yes, they will. Remember, reality TV? Watching somebody cook a chook. How ridiculous. Just my opinion. People want reality. Salvation is real, beloved. Share your salvation testimony. And you'll be amazed how God will use it. Think of the Samaritan woman. She was a vile, wicked, immoral woman. And she just simply pointed and said, I think you'll find the Christ. I found him, but I think you'll find the Christ there by a well. And the rest is history. Let's bow for prayer.